This year we've been taking the challenge to read together the Gospel of Mark. With a slight detour and Holy Week and Easter, we're picking back up in the chapter of Mark in 3. The writer of Mark gives a quick, clear account of the Gospel, immediately rushing us towards the words that require our action and our attention. Immediately, we have things to do, God's call on our lives. Additionally, we've paired our readings with this year-long verse, "Be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourself." We've taken this as our call not just to hear God's word, but to act on it, to live it out. In the weeks that follow the resurrection, Jesus spent that time with the disciples, an intense 40-day semester. So imagine, after 3 years of living together day in and day out, teaching and preaching, healing and caring together for God's people, all of a sudden, it felt different. In fact, quite different. Those words that they had heard, you know, the death and resurrection, the life after death, they took on a different urgency. And so, in those days, Jesus and the 11, the ones that the Gospel of Mark just laid out for us, gathered together to remember, to relearn. The time together is a relearning, a fresh learning, as it is for us as Easter people, freshly with new eyes for us to see again. Just like disciples who move from the tomb to the highways and the byways. We are called, like Karl Barth once famously challenged, to hold the Bible in one hand and the news source, whatever it might be for you, in the other hand. Barth, the great theologian, taught preachers and lay folks to take your Bible and your newspaper and read both, but interpret the newspaper from your Bible. The newspaper, he says, are so important that you should pray in this order. Pray first for the sick and then the poor, and then the journalists, and then the authorities of the state, and then the church. Journalists, he says, form the public opinion. They hold a terribly important position. Nevertheless, a theologian or the laity should be formed by the position around them. Whatever the peace of God is proclaimed, the peace on earth is implicit. Let us not forget the Easter message. So for the next couple of weeks, you and I are going to take seriously this challenge to hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper, whatever our source is, in the other. So I start that this week with the concept or the media story around bullying. We could have picked any story of bullying, but I want to share one with you from this week specifically. This week, I want to tell you the story of a 12-year-old. Her name is Cherish Chance Howell. It was shared in a couple of media. I got it on this newspaper. She was described as an uplifting and hope-filled person, and over the last 6 months, she began to be bullied by her classmates, experiencing pain for exploring who she was. So the adults and the friends in her life came around her to support her. She reached out to them and said, "There's people bullying me." But it was relentless. Her family, after her death, released some of these words. "Cherish's family and support systems want to be public, so you all will know to prevent these tragedies. They're asking parents to talk to their children and ask hard questions. Are you being bullied? And are you a bully? Have you witnessed it? And did it break your heart? But you were just glad it wasn't you today. Did you not know what to do and walk away? Did you join in the laughter because you didn't want to attract the attention of anyone else? We're asking you to teach your children that your words are a valuable resource, and let them positively, hear this, affect others. Teach your children, the parents' right, to know what to do when you feel that this is relentless. Make sure they know who to call on when they feel hopeless. Bullying," these are my words now, "bullying is when you lose track of how to treat someone else as the child of God. Friends, God has created each one of us. And so when our words and actions no longer honor the child of God in someone else, we've lost track of how God has made each and every one of us. We initially think that bullying must be for the youngest among us, but it can be as we're adults as well. Jesus gathered the disciples together and he sent them out, often two by two. It's because we need one another. We need to value one another. We need to remind one another that God values us, God who made us and values us today, and for becoming who God has called us to be, God who urges us on and loves us as we become, for the cherishes among us, and for those who stand up for the cherishes." Did you hear the call of Deuteronomy that Margie read for us? As God speaks to God's people, they're reminded that they are never alone. Whether it's in the halls of the middle school, hoping I don't have to go back there, navigating parenting, in the co-worker relationships, in the new job, in caring for an ailing parent, or in a new health turn, God will not leave you or forsake you. If you're being bullied or watching as someone else is, be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread. It is the Lord God who goes with you. God will not fail you or forsake you. The Fuller Youth Institute has done some research, bringing together some of the best minds on youth faith development, and they call it sticky faith. It reminds me a little bit of when we spill honey on our kitchen counter and it takes an awful long time to scrub up all of the honey that gets into all of the pieces of my kitchen counter. But what it means is that your faith sticks for a while for our youth. One of the learnings is that for our youth, they need 7 sticky points. 7 adults who will love and care for them. 7 people that they can turn to. 7 people that they choose. 7 people that aren't necessarily related to them. So, sorry, Mom and Dad, not necessarily you. 7 people that they can debrief with. 7 people they can share how the day went, and 7 people they can goof off with a little bit. 7 people to thrive to adulthood with. 7 people who will say, "You are a beloved child of God." Here at West Grove, God has been and continues to call us to be a place where children and youth are valued and loved as unique and individual children of God, where each one may find some of those 7 sticky points in this place. On the strength of our Easter faith, we're called to step up and step in, to be courageous and bold, even when courage is fear that said its prayers. Colin Ryan tells this story from his 5th grade experience. It could be my story, but it's Colin Ryan's story. He says when he was in 5th grade, "You could have told me, Colin, it's not cool to wear your sweatpants every day to school, but I was comfortable. Colin, it's not necessarily cool to go to the school dance and do the Macarena to Guns N' Roses' November Rain, but I wasn't going to stop. Colin, it's not cool to do on Saturday nights the church's clown ministry, but I loved it. Then I went to 6th grade in middle school, and all of a sudden, there were 2 options. I could choose to be cool, or I could be quiet. I chose to be quiet. Until 3rd period on the first day, and a teacher had us fill out a questionnaire, a get-to-know-you kind of thing. I thought the teacher would just read them herself, so I was honest on the questionnaire. I didn't figure that the teacher was going to shuffle them up and pass them out for the students to read back to the class. My sheet ended up in the hands of a kid who was the coolest and the meanest. Ooh. His favorite answers of mine were the 3 worst to be read out loud. The first question was, "What's your favorite movie?" The other kids wrote things like Scream and Universal Soldier. I remember thinking, we're 11. Who's seen all these R-rated movies? He read my answer, Beauty and the Beast, which I still thought was better than the rest, but who can make that argument at age 11? Laughter erupted in the room and my cheeks burned because I knew there were more to come. The next question he read was, "Where do you like to travel?" The other kids said Australia and Japan. And I wrote poetically, "Wherever a book takes me." The laughter had an explosive quality, and the kids were high-fiving each other at my expense. The final question was, "What do you like to do on the weekends?" The other kids wrote, "Hang out with your friends, go to the mall." And this one I knew would hurt. I wrote, "Perform with clowns for Christ." Those who weren't laughing at me were sort of staring at me in disgust. I felt about an inch tall, and I fixated at my Trapper Keeper binder, trying to figure out if I could disappear inside of it. And then, something amazing happened. A voice from somewhere in the back of the room said, "Guys, cut it out." And the voice belonged to Michelle Seaver. Michelle Seaver was popular and cool and had sway, and the room was quiet. For the Collins and the Cherishes among us, can you and I not be a Michelle? What does it look like for a church to build sticky faith for 7 people, for each of our beloved children and youth? We pray for their health and their well-being and their faith formation into thriving life. Jesus calls us to love and to value not just a few people that we prefer, but each and every one. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.